Die thy one is me. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as red. Begin at a fault to let our spirits chafe or vex over any real or supposed wrong done to ourselves. Self is the enemy we most need to fear. No form of vice has a more baleful effect upon the character than has human passion not under the control of the Holy Spirit. No other victory we can gain will be so precious as the victory gained over self. We should not allow our feelings to be easily wounded. We are to live not to guard our feelings or our reputation, but to save souls. As we become interested in the salvation of souls, we cease to mind the little differences that so often arise in our association with one another. Whatever others may think of us or do to us, it need not disturb our oneness in Christ, the fellowship of the Spirit. What glory it is if, when we are buffered for your fault, you shall take it patiently. But if, when you do well and suffer it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable to God. Do not retaliate. So far as you can do so, remove all cause of the misapprehension. Avoid the appearance of evil. Do all that lies in your power without the sacrifice of principles to conciliate others. If thou bringest thy gift to the altar, and thou rememberest that thy brother has ought against thee, leave thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. If impatient words are spoken to you, never reply in the same spirit. Remember that a soft answer turns it away round, and there is wonderful power in silence. Words spoken in reply to one who is angry sometimes serve to exacerbate. But anger met with silence in a tender, forbearing spirit quickly dies away. Under a storm of stinging, fault-finding words, keep the mind stayed upon the word of God. Let mind and heart be stored with God promises. If you are ill-treated or wrongfully accused, instead of returning an angry answer, repent. Repeat to yourself the precious promises. Do not overcome evil, but overcome evil with good.
Let us pray. Our kind Heavenly Father, once again, to give us an opportunity once again to come together to prepare a message for your people. We're most grateful and thankful. We pray, Father, whatever is said to done today, to be uplift our spirits, to think and meditate upon the things that are going to be said, to think solely about what this world is coming to. That eventually come, we will not be found wanting, but we will be found waiting for your return. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Good afternoon and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministries. We want to welcome our audience this afternoon, but we'd like to say a special welcome to those of you, who may be listening to us for the first time. If you have any comments or questions that you might have on the show, please feel free to give us a call at 322-6273. Any comments or any prayer requests or anything that that is burdening you, please give us a call. We'd be glad to hear from you. Or if you prefer to write us, you can write us at P.O. Box N8993. Or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com. Or you can visit our website at www.tpministries.org. There, Brother Paul has some articles that he has written that appears in the Nassau Guardian on Thursday. But you can also read old ones that are presently on our website. You could also find articles written by Brother Renwick, also by Sister Marlene, and there's also some links to very interesting websites that we believe will assist you in your study of the scripture and to follow along with us. Now, before we get into our discussion this afternoon on church and state, should they unite, we're going to take a kind of look at the election and some of the fallouts, etc. But before we get to that, I'd like to remind you that on May 28th, that's Monday, May 28th, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., Turning Point will be having another Turning Point Live. At that afternoon, we will be dealing with the topic, Church and State, Should They Unite? Church and State, Should They Unite? And Religious Freedom. So tell your family, tell your friends, let them know that Turning Point Presents is back on May 28th from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. on this radio station. Now, before we go on to our questions this afternoon, we're going to ask Brother Paul, as usual, to give us an update on those things that he read in the newspaper that might be of some spiritual significance to us today. Brother Paul.
Thank you, Brother Julian. Once again, good afternoon, Bahamas. We are happy to be coming to your homes today, or in your cars, on your boat, wherever you are today, relaxing on this first day of the week. Well, coming from the newspaper, you know, a lot of things have been said in the newspaper this week about our past general elections that were just on May the 2nd. But one of the sad things coming from the newspaper this week is once again another young man was shot a few times in his home, and based on the news reports coming out on the Friday evening news, this young man has now passed away. We'd like you to pray for his family, and if the murder count is correctly, I believe his death registered number 30 for the year. And then I came across very interesting paper in some of the papers that I have stored at my house, dated June the 8th, the year 2000, where the murderer at that time was 32. That's June 8th, 2000. And we're just too shy of that now, and it's right now May the 11th or the 12th or 13th, somewhere that we are in the year of May, and the murder count is continuing to climb. Surely we're living in that time when all of us should be asking ourselves, are we on the Lord's side? Because we realize, ladies and gentlemen, that time surely run up based on all the things that are taking place. And can this be reversed? It can, but based on the facts of the Bible, it would not be reversed, because a lot of us don't want to give up our selfish attitude. We want to be busy living towards ourselves. And it's actually a sin problem. You know, so today our hearts go to the family of the young man that lost his life, and all those that lost their lives during the course of this year's begin, and also those that lost their lives in years previous to this time, because in 1999, my brother also was killed when he went home from a hard day's work. So I know what it's to lose a brother, but you know, it's a tough time, you know, to lose a one that you really love and one that you used to see in all the years of your life you've been on earth. But realize the Lord is in the business of not putting on us more than we can bear, and he knows exactly why he allows these things to happen. Sometimes it's to bring us to ourselves, to let us know it could have been us. And if it was, what would be our standing at the end of time? Because surely these people that lost their lives tragically or from illness or whatever it might be, their destiny is already set. So if they have died inside the Lord, the good news is they'll have an opportunity to rise again, to live forever. But the sad reality is if they die without Christ, what a terrible torment they'll be in the lake of fire, where they'll be burned like ashes, like you see today in our town.
Thank you very much, Brother Paul. Now this afternoon, we're going to take a look, ladies and gentlemen, at some of the election results. But of course, we're not going to be concerned about PLP or FNM. We're going to be concerned about the general attitude of the nation and the country, and more specifically Christians in this time of election. But the poor, as we look at the results, and the results came back that statistically, I guess people would say that it was 50% voted for the PLP and 50% voted for the FNM. However, the FNM were able to secure the majority of seats. And we know from past experience, we know that a lot of Christians voted, and then we saw a lot of Christians even now, you know, you see them have a lot of angry words at one another, because one party won and the other party lost, of course, but because of the closeness. Is this exchange of words between Christians in this day and age, dealing with this political issue, is that right?
No, Brother Julian. As a matter of fact, Jesus left an example to the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 to 22, say, even hereunto are you and I called, that Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And we know based on that, Christ had 12 disciples that walked with him in the day when he walked among men. And one of them, you know, we always talk about his name is Judas. And you know, Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Judas' whole intention for doing that, he thought Christ would be able to free himself, but the time had already fulfilled that Christ should go to the cross and die. And that event, Christ for that time, for the first time in his history of walking on the earth, he did not try to duck away from this incident, because he knew his time had fully come. And Judas was betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. When Jesus realized what Judas was about to do, Jesus calls Judas friend. He said, friend, betrayest thou me with a kiss? And notice carefully, at the end of that, Jesus didn't hang Judas, but Judas, after realizing what he did, and he betrayed innocent blood, Judas ran out and he hanged himself. That would be a good example for most of us to follow today. Don't try to take things into our own hands. Allow the Spirit of God to do what it say it would do. And realizing that Christ will wake up in the hearts of all those who did us wrong. And he was the one that will see to it that we are justly rewarded at the end of time. But if we try to take matters into our own hands, then that means we'll be taking something on us that is not given to us. Because the Apostle Paul tells, vengeance is God's own, and when he comes, he surely will repay. So let's think on these things. Let's follow the example of Christ and ask ourselves, are the things we're doing really glorifying the Father of heaven or the Father of this earth, which is the devil himself?
But Paul, how could Christians in this time deal with this type of division?
The best way to deal with this type of division, Brother Julian, is realize that this division is not of God. This division is of the devil himself. And we need to go to the Lord and ask the Lord for the mending power that is directly from heaven itself in order for us to deal with this division. Because think about it. Let's say if you were to go to heaven today, do you think it's going to be a division in heaven where FNMs and PLPs and BDMs and independents and those who don't vote we'll be sitting around the banquet table in heaven, thinking that it's going to be okay. No, lady, this is a preparation ground. We are actors on this earth, and God has taken an accurate account of all of our different attitudes and all our different besetments. And if you today cannot talk to your neighbor who's an FNM and you being a PLP, or you today cannot speak to your neighbor who's a BDM and you're an independent, then something is wrong with that picture. Surely we brag and boast how this nation is supposed to be a Christian nation. So how come one election came around a few days ago on May the 2nd, and all of us are basically divided? What spirit is leading here? Is it the spirit of the Lord, or is it the spirit of the devil? I dare not say it is the spirit of the Lord, because there'll be no division in heaven, but that no division must begin here. So if we have division now, now is the time for us to repent, to go to our neighbor and say, look, I'm sorry for the way I acted towards you. I might have said something, I might have done something that, you know, during this election season that caused us now to be adrift. We need to mend that. We need to fall on our knees right now and ask the Lord for the forgiving power, that we could be once again what we used to be before the elections came up. Because be assured, our parliamentarians, the most you might see them fighting among themselves, they too have to sit around the table sometimes and try to trash, you know, what are we going to do here to make our country go forward? I don't think they may act that way in the public, but I think behind closed doors, I truly believe, you know, these brothers get along pretty good. And that's the reason why at the end of time, you see they can still be friends. You see them taking pictures together. You see them laughing together in the newspaper and the television. You know, after they just had a heated debate. And sometimes it get that way. You know, you have and there's nothing wrong with them having a heated debate, because the Bible even says, you must be angry, but sin not. You read that in 1 John. But where the true test comes is, let's say the debate gets so heated that moments later, one of them should be in dire need of help. If you can't help that brother who just had the heated debate, you know, you have just crossed the line where, you know, you are hating to a point where you actually want to sin. And that's where the true test comes. If your neighbor today who is an FNM or a PLP be stranded on the side, what would you do to help them? Would you pause to try to see if you can help them? If you're driving home from work and you see them stranded on the Eastern Shore and they have a flat tire, would you stop and assist them? They're flying their PLP flags and you're flying your FNM flags. Would you stop to assist them? If you can't, be assured you're operating in the spirit that does not glorify your Father, and you must repent of that before it's a day too late.
Well, Paul, you know, there's always talk on the radio shows and from time to time, and people like to refer to this, to the Bahamas as a Christian nation. And how could a nation that professed to be so much a Christian nation be so divided and so vehemently divided?
Well, like I said, Brother Julian, any person that finds themselves in that situation today is truly not being led by the Spirit of God. Because the Bible is quite clear that when the Spirit of God come, He will lead and guide you into all truth. Remember, we must always show love. I think about our brother Peter. You know, Peter walked with Jesus for all through his ministry. He called him from, you know, he was a fisherman. And you know, the Lord told Peter, said, before the cock crow, you would have denied me. And Peter said, no, Lord, you know I love you. And when the test came for Peter to really show that he loved God, he denied Christ. And it's like that today. We have to realize that we have to be solid as a rock based on the principles of, we can't let our feelings get in the way. Our feelings will always fool us, ladies and gentlemen. Feelings has nothing to do with the standards of God's word. We must always show love, pushing our feelings aside, and those feelings can only be pushed aside once we are rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. And that's why I believe with all my heart that as Christians should stay away from politics, because politics does not do nothing good for the body of Christ. It only brings division. How many churches do we have in the Bahamas that are divided straight down the middle, where you have FNMs on one side and PLPs on one side, and they just finish holding up holy hands, saying praise the Lord? But how could you be holding up holy hands and saying praise the Lord, and the brothers and sisters on the east are not speaking to brothers and sisters on the west? Something is wrong with that picture. And as a matter of fact, in the article that Brother Julian read, he said, if you have a fault with your brother, you must go first deal with that fault before you bring your guest to the altar. Think on these things. I mean, it's very important for us to realize that the Bible means what it says. That's Matthew chapter 5, verse 22 and 24. We must first go and make it right with our brothers and sisters, and then we can bring our gifts together, and then our gifts will be accepted. If we should do otherwise, we'd just be serving God in vain based on Matthew chapter 5. But in vain do they worship me. Matthew chapter 15, sorry, verse 9. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So yesterday, there are many of us today in the Bahamas side to say worshiping God in vain right now, because we know we are at odds with each other. We know during the past week we did not take that lunch for our co-worker because we are right now divided because of the elections. And we think all is well. But it is well. Remember, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the apostle wrote, let not the sun go down on your wrath. Meaning that if you die in your wrath, if you die in your anger, the same mindset you die with is the same mindset you're going to wake up with. We need to think on these things. And if politics is going to put you to the point where it's going to make you angry with your brother, by all means, then you truly need to stay away from it. Because like I said a few weeks ago, politics is not light. Politics is total darkness. Yes, the government leaders have to run the country. Are we going to show them all the respect? Are we going to be praying for them because God has given them that right to run the nation and to do justly and to do honestly with all men? And I believe with all their heart, they really want to do it. The Bahamians are so ungrateful, sad to say. You know, we carry on like little children sometimes. I mean, the mothers and the fathers, we carry on just like the little children. But the good thing about it, when the little children be angry with each other, you see them loving each other just moments later, when adults cannot operate that way. How can this be? How can we expect for our children to learn of us if they watch our attitude towards the adults? And when you expect for your children to do, remember, our children are following our footsteps. As a matter of fact, we had a little girl, Stephanie, my wife was keeping her last week, and a little girl, she said, keep the PLP out, stay out. And the little girl, she's only about 3 or 4 years old. Where did she get that from? No more than 3 years old, and she's able to recite those things, you know. Already she got it from the radio. I'm sure our parents didn't sit her down and teach, but it was bombarded through the whole campaign trail. Keep the people out, to stay out. We can book them out and all these sorts of phrases. And we think it sounds cute, but right at the an early age, barriers are being set up. So if she take that straight through now to the age when she can be able to vote, what do you think she's going to vote for? Most likely she's going to vote for the FNM. Who knows? By then, you know, she may have a change of heart, realize that, you know, it doesn't make no sense if, you know, time lingers on.
Thank you very much, Brother Paul. Brother Paul, one of the things that we also saw just before the election, that there were some ministers of the gospel, preachers, reverends, whatever they want to call themselves, bishops, who were calling for their members to vote. What do you have to say to them?
Brother Julian, I can't believe ministers of the gospel, but it is true that there was, you know, as a matter of fact, there was one particular minister on the campaign trail, and he is saying some things about the present government. I was like, do this man really realize that every record is being taken in the courts of heaven based on some of the things that he is spewing forward here? See, the job of the minister is to mend broken hearts, not to bring division and discord. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul said this will happen in the last days, that the ministers come to cause division among you. I mean, I was taken aback. I couldn't believe there was a minister of the gospel getting caught up in this thing. And he is saying things that, I mean, that I believe it can even maybe even cause him a suit later on down, you know, if the former government decided to go down that road. I mean, he is saying some things that's beyond me. He is saying things that street people would use. I mean, just a common citizen on the street, you know what I mean? They're not checking for God, they're just having fun. And I'd be like, the effort, I mean, the gentleman is blessed with the gift of speech. The effort he used to try to show why, you know, people should vote the other way. If he just used that same effort in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, maybe just one person that is being reached through his message of the gospel of Jesus Christ can turn the world upside down. And I'm surprised, you know what I mean? You see it on both sides. And these same ministers are the ones who be calling for unity. They be saying, let's have a national day of prayer here. Let's have a national day of this, a national day of that. But at the same time, they're on different political platforms here. I mean, who should we believe? Those that are on the FNM side, those that are on the PLP side. I mean, who should we believe, ladies and gentlemen? Are the two of them preaching the same gospel? I dare not say yes. It cannot be, ladies and gentlemen. And that's why I think ministers should stay out of it. Let the members know the dangers and the pitfalls and stuff, and let them draw their own conclusion. Their mission is to do one thing, to preach the gospel in season and out of season. As a matter of fact, in Ezekiel 33, the watchman's job is to give the trumpet a signal sound and to warn the people of what is to come. And if he don't, in Ezekiel 33, verse 6, the Bible says, then the people will die in their iniquity, and he will require the blood of those people who died in their iniquity at the watchman's hand. So if the watchman is not warned of the nation of the things that are taking place, then the watchman and those who should have warned will both be in hell together. What is a sad commentary that can be said about ministers of the God who have been paid handsomely by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to preach the gospel in season and out of season?
Brother Paul, would God hold Christians responsible who vote for a particular party, and when they get into the House of Assembly, they make laws or regulations or they do things that go contrary to what God wants of them? Will God hold those Christians who voted for them responsible for such actions?
Yes, Brother Julian, that's a good question you ask. You know, in the Bahamas, we have something what's called being concerned together. And I'm going to break it down maybe because you might have kids listening today to let them know that. Let's take, for instance, a group of young fellas get together, let's say about 10 of them, and they go to a house party. And while at the house party, one of their friends do something that is worthy of a criminal act. Well, when the policemen round up the party, all those who are involved in that incident will be locked up. If none want to talk against the other, none want to turn crown and give evidence against the other, then all of them be held before the courts being charged, being concerned together. And at the end of the day, If there's not sufficient evidence to clear all of them will go to jail when only one should have gone to jail. Well, it's the same thing in the political arena. One of the areas I've been crying out for the past few years with the government to put a cease to is issuing rum licenses. You know, rum has done more damage in our country than anything else on the face of the earth. And when the government issue a rum license, you are just as guilty because you are saying that government is representing you in the parliament. Now, how would the government deal with this to make sure people can have an opportunity to drink their rum? Just don't take no taxes. But you're going to pass down some stiff penalties here. That, for example, if I come to your club and drink some beers, and I get under the influence, but I find myself committing a crime under the influence of the alcohol I got at your club, then me and the club owner is going to be hauled before the court. You can also pass a law where those who sell alcohol should know, you know, how much drinks, they shouldn't be selling it in the first place. But because you don't want to take away people's freedom of choice to drink or not to drink, then you can also pass a law where once it can be proven that the alcohol from your particular business caused the damage to be done, then that business place should be held accountable for taking care of the families that were affected by the crime that was committed. So there's different avenues the government can use to make sure they don't have the blood of men hands on their hands, especially in the area of alcohol. I mean, there are a whole lot more I can list here, but alcohol is the one, and also cigarette smoking. These things are proven by doctors and scientists to be detrimental to the people and their families. How many families they can attest that nowhere along their family lines they've been affected by people in their family drinking alcohol or smoking cigarettes? I don't think there's no family in the Bahamas can say, you know, that never happened in our family. Either happened to a brother or to a sister or an uncle or an auntie, and God forbid, even to a daddy or to a mother. Their children that are fatherless and motherless because their parents got into alcohol drinking, and today now, you know, they either have the mummy or the daddy, or maybe in some cases they even have lost both through the alcoholism effect in our town.
Brother Paul, during this election season again, I think you made reference earlier to the fact that some of the churches were divided. But what really amazed me, when I thought about should I vote or shouldn't I vote, etc., when I thought about election, I said, you know something? During this election period, you had some churches where you had people from the FNM and the PLP and the BDM, independents, and persons who didn't vote. And apparently all of them prayed to God. And some said they even fasted. But when election time came around, they voted for different parties. Now, is God confused? Or how could this be if they all are praying and praying and fasting to the same God?
Brother Julian, God is not the author of confusion. So right off the bat, we know God is not confused. I think the people, as a Christian nation, we have forgotten our mission. Our mandate is still the same. It's in Matthew 28, to preach the gospel. Preach the gospel to every man, woman, boy, and girl. Baptizing them and teaching them to observe all things, and lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. That's our mission. In Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse number 18, Jesus says, and he spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Did Jesus teach us how to do politics? Did he teach us how to write political speeches and attend rallies? I mean, that's another point right there. I mean, people spend all night at the rallies. And if you, as a matter of fact, ZNS has had a wonderful program that they're dealing with crime and violence. And you know, when I turned on the TV to see the response, no one was there. But as soon as the politicians called for a rally, everyone was down there, jumping around and bouncing around and did it out. And you know, see ladies, this is what I'm talking about. ZNS. I mean, ZNS is not, they're not preachers. They're not teachers. They just were concerned about the crime and violence. So they had something called Peace Fest. And they invited all families that were affected to come down to the sports center. And you know, most of you who like to go out and stuff like that, how come no one was there? I don't even remember seeing hardly no preachers there. I mean, if any preachers there, maybe only be four or five. I mean, I stand to be corrected. But at the rallies, I saw ministers of the gospel in the newspaper at the rallies. But I didn't see them at the Peace Fest. And Zenith was crying out for help. Come and join with us. Link hard with us to see what we can do, if there's any hope for us in our nation in Peace Fest. But no, the rallies went from like 7, 8 o'clock up until midnight, sometimes even 1 o'clock. I remember at one particular rally, they waited for the former prime minister to show up because he was doing his rounds on the family island, and they were still there waiting faithfully. Not to a prayer meeting, but to hear what it is the chief had to say, what it is the former prime minister, Mr. Christie, Perry Christie, he wanted his troops to be there, and they waited faithfully. And, you know, God saw that, you know, he pulled them down and raised the Ephraim government up. So something is wrong here. Where's the emphasis should be as Christians? Are we going to put all the pressure on the government? The government's job is not to evangelize the world. That's the church job. And surely, if it's the church job to evangelize the world, right now the government of the world, the government of the Bahamas, is doing sometimes a better job than the religious leaders, sad to say. I mean, they're working overtime trying to see what they can do to make sure we can make ends meet here, so we can have peace and tranquility here. And when the church should be doing that. So a message today to the churches. The time has come for us to pick up the mandate once again. If you fall short, repent. God is in the business of all giving repentance to everyone. And the time has come now to get excited. The rallies are over now. Let's get excited about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let's see if we can be of help to our now Prime Minister, Mr. Hubert Ingraham.
Brother Paul, a lot of things that you have said seem as if things are in a very, very bad state. And I even think the Bible says that things are going to get worse as because man's hearts are evil. But what I want you to do this afternoon is give the people some hope. What hope can you give the people, knowing that the world is going to get worse? Go ahead, Brother Paul.
The hope comes, Brother Julian, in Romans 1:16, for you and I shall not be the shame of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel of Jesus Christ has nothing to do with politics, ladies and gentlemen. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believes. First to the Jews, to the Greeks, to the Gentiles, and now even to the Bahamas today. That's the power, ladies and gentlemen. The power is not in the FNM, the PLP, the BDM, the independence, is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us go on our knees and pray that our Prime Minister, Mr. Hubert Ingraham, the Right Honourable Hubert Ingraham, will right now give him the wisdom from heaven that he needed in this time to try to punch the right buttons and say the right things. Because, you know, it is not an easy job, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, I mean, this prime ministership thing is not easy. I mean, if you pay me $1 million, I won't be a prime minister for nothing in the world. Because we are just ungrateful people. And right now, people are even then saying if the FNM don't do this, they're going to vote them out. So what y'all want? I mean, you just voted them in a few hours ago, and now you're ready to vote them out. That's why I say the time has come for us now to pick up our Bible. That's from the Bible. We know more about what has happened in the TV guide than what's happening in the Bible. We know more about what's happening on television than what's happening in the Bible. So I challenge you today. Pick up your Bible and study it. Don't read it. Study a line upon line, a priest upon priest. And I assure you, when Jesus Christ comes, you will be among those who say, Lord, this is our Savior, and he will save us. This is our hope in Jesus Christ.
Let us pray. Most kind Father, we thank you once again, O God, for the opportunity and the privilege to come before you. We come before you, O Lord, first asking forgiveness of our sins and our iniquity. Lord, as we change governments, we ask that you be with them, Lord. Like Brother Paul said earlier, we want to pray, Lord, that you give him wisdom and understanding that he may deal with these people, like you did for Moses, like you did for Solomon. Please, Lord, we ask. And Lord, we also ask for strength and power to understand what the Holy Spirit has to say to each of us, individually and collectively, that we may be ready for you when you come in the clouds. Is our prayer we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Once again, our telephone contact is 322-6273. Our next live program will be May the 28th from 8 to 10 p.m. on ZNS 1540. Until next week, may the peace of God be with your family. This is Paul Miller.
And this is Julian Miller. May God richly bless you.